I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Hard to believe, but this week marks a year since Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 vanished with no explanation. To this date, no wreckage has been found, but the search is still on. And investigators still think they'll find the plane somewhere at the bottom of the vast Indian Ocean to the west of Australia. Clive Irving has been reporting on the mystery of MH370 for the Daily Beast. He thinks they'll find something eventually.
This territory underwater there is spectacularly awful. It's like an underwater Alps. It has mountains, volcanoes, deep trenches. But nonetheless, the Australians are very confident they've got the right equipment to deal with it.
So it's a very treacherous part of the ocean world down there. Aside from that, I mean, what are the key pieces of missing evidence that have really hampered the search?
I think the thing you have to understand is that this is like a murder case without a body. And unless you get the body, everything is supposition and guesswork. And it's been made worse by the total lack of transparency from the investigation itself, which has now been going on for a year. And this is why you get all these nutty conspiracy theories. Every day there's a new one.
What theories are there? Not bizarre theories, but real theories as to why no wreckage has been spotted.
There's basically a choice between two viable theories. One is that there was some kind of foul play, human intervention, and the other is there's some kind of mechanical failure. I belong to the second category because I haven't seen anything that's persuaded me. There was no ransom message from any hijackers. And in order to abduct a plane of that size, it would need a great deal of inside expertise about how the planes work.
So last year, Clive, you hypothesized that Flight 370 became a zombie flight. Just remind us what that means.
The division over what happened, was it an act of foul play or was it a mechanical failure? They both converge and agree on one thing, which is the last 6 hours of the flight, the plane was flown by autopilot until it ran out of gas and then spiraled down into the water. So the meaning of a zombie flight is there's no communication from the plane, from anyone flying the plane. It assumes control of the plane itself, like a kind of robot assumption of control. Whatever the theories about what got it into that position in the first place, no one argues that it didn't fly itself those 6 hours. That's a zombie flight. So this means that we have to reverse engineer this timeline and go back to when did the zombie flight begin? In other words, when did it start flying itself? What transferred the command of the plane to the autopilot without human intervention? What happened to the passengers and the crew during that time? Were they unconscious because of lack of oxygen, this thing called hypoxia? Was that the reason?
So through all of this, as you said, the officials ended up mapping the floor of this very rough part of the Indian Ocean, the Roaring Forties, as they call it. Did that help or did it just produce a map?
I think it's helped enormously because, first of all, it was terra incognita, and it's always bad to have any part of the ocean that's unmapped where you're likely to get this kind of situation. Secondly, they have proved that they can find very small objects down there. So far, I've found shipping containers, which obviously fell off of ships in rough weather. And if you can find something the size of a shipping container sitting on the ocean floor in that place, then you're going to find something the size of pieces of an airplane down there.
Journalist Clive Irving, he's been reporting on the mystery of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 for the Daily Beast. Clive, thank you very much.
You're welcome.